Good morning. I'd like to welcome everybody this morning. I remember growing up, people saying you run around like a chicken with your head cut off. And don't you feel that sometimes that you're busy, you're doing things, but kind of no purpose, or you've lost the purpose. And that's the title of our lesson today, not holding fast to the head. The scripture reading that we had this morning was taken from Colossians, the second chapter. We're studying Colossians right now in our Wednesday night Bible study, and we covered this month or couple months ago. And this verse stuck out to me when we were covering it in chapter 2, verses 18 and 19, where Paul would write, "Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God." Number of things in just those two verses. Paul starts out that let no one cheat you of your reward. That reward is our salvation. That reward is our ultimate goal to get to spend eternity in heaven with God. And there were those then, and there are those now. This applies to us in 2025 as much as it did in the first century when Paul wrote those words. Let no one cheat you of your reward. There is a lot of people that are trying to cheat us of the reward that we have. The devil's very busy trying to distract us, trying to misdirect us, trying to discount and put a faint question about our belief, or a faint question that maybe the Bible isn't real, that what we're doing isn't worth it, or perverting the word that anything is acceptable. And I want us to look at a couple of ways here that was going on then and now. Not holding fast to the head through our belief. Get people doubting their faith. People wondering, is it all real? Should I continue believing this or not? A lot of people say it's that religion is just a bunch of hoodoo. Our conduct, not holding fast to the head, Jesus, in our conduct. Oh, I believe, but I'm not going to live it. Two totally different things. Another is doctrine. That any doctrine is acceptable, or that there is no doctrine. And last, worship. And these all kind of blend together in a way, but they are all definitely separate. Let's look at these individually. First of all, belief. God has given us free will to believe in him or not, to believe in Jesus. And that's what this passage is talking about, is about believing in Jesus, the head, not holding fast to the head. And that head is Jesus Christ. And the body, we've had lessons, the church. In John 8, 24, Jesus himself is talking to his disciples and people listening to him. And he says, therefore, I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Do not believe that I am he who? Of course we know that you're Jesus. You're the carpenter's son. You're Mary's son. We've known you for quite some time. No, not believe me that I am Jesus. Believe that I am he, the Savior, the Son of God. If we don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God and our Savior, that's stage one foundational. We're not going to do anything else beyond that. If we can't get past that, and there's a lot of people that believe that Jesus was Jesus, even today. There's a lot of people who believe Jesus was a good teacher. Had some wonderful sayings, but they put him on an equivalent of Confucius, Plato, Aesop's Fables. Jesus is saying, if you don't believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. There were people in the first century that the first century was having to deal with years later that believed and taught that Jesus didn't come in the flesh, that Jesus was a concept, that Jesus was an idea, that he really wasn't in the flesh. And Jesus is combating that. And we're combating that today. There's a lot of people in the world today that are religious that believe the idea that Jesus is a good teacher. But it stops there. Or believe that Jesus existed, but that he wasn't the Son of God. James would write in 2:19. You believe that there is one God. You do well. For even the demons believe and tremble. The demons know about God and Jesus. And in fact, in Mark, the first chapter, there is a case where Jesus is dealing with these demons. They are aware of who he was. They believe in what Jesus was saying, unless you believe that I am he. They know who he is. It's not going to do them any good because they don't follow him. But it says, now there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit. And he cried out saying, let us alone. What do we have to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come here to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. They acknowledge who Jesus was. Even the demons believe and they tremble. But acknowledging and taking it a step farther and following is a different thing. Another aspect of not holding fast to the head is maybe drifting away from the head with our conduct. We might mentally believe in Jesus, but I'm starting to drift. I'm drifting away from the church. My conduct is not that which indicates that I'm living as a Christian. I still believe, but my conduct doesn't show it. Paul would write in the previous chapter from our text, so in Colossians 1:10, he says, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Two big things here, that our conduct be worthy. We have been called, that label Christian is honorable. Not everybody can hang that around their neck. And he says that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him. And then it says, and being fruitful in every good work, that your efforts will show benefits. And then it says, and increasing in the knowledge, that we're studying, that we're adding to the knowledge that we have about God. In Ephesians, Paul would also write in Ephesians 4:1, he says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. I love how Paul gives little descriptions like that. Not only is it a description, a good description of himself, a prisoner of the Lord. Not only does it describe Paul, he's reminding them, I've turned my life over to the Lord. And so when I tell you these things, I'm not telling you something that I want you to do that I'm not doing. He's not doing the do as I say, not as I do. I, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you. This is not a, oh, by the way, it's, I'm begging you. I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. You were called to something great. Live up to it. There's no greater calling than that of a Christian. Live up to it. You guys should probably be able to quote this passage by now. It is used by so many of the men in this congregation for various lessons. This is by people that believe in Jesus, that call Him Lord. And Jesus corrects and instructs them and kind of jars them awake. Jesus says, starting in verse 21, it says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, people that believe, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? Those were all Christian works. Those were all good activities. Verse 23, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice. Practice lawlessness. Big difference in stumbling in sin and living in sin. They practice it. They're living it. Even though they do some good things once in a while, they're living it. And Jesus is condemning that. We can't separate ourselves from the head through our conduct. We can't separate ourselves from the head with doctrine. The head leads us. The head leads us in all things. Our feet does not take us places that our head doesn't tell it to go. We don't follow doctrine except what the head has told us to do. In John 14, verse 15, Jesus gives a very simple, black and white statement. And he starts off with that such powerful word, little if. If small but mighty. If you love me, keep my commandments. His commandments are found today in God's word. And we've been blessed that through God's providential care, his word has been preserved all these years for us to be able to know what those commandments are. God did not just plop us down here and say, okay, you're on your own. Good luck. Right when you get work. Adios, amigo. He's given us everything we need that pertains to godliness through his word. In Hebrews 2, verses 1 and 2, the Hebrew writer says, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard. The result is, if we don't, lest we drift away. We separate ourselves from the head. We have to rededicate ourselves. We have to be so much more earnest to the things we've heard so we don't drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and I don't know of any accounts in the Bible where the angels lied, where the angels misled people, if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? And it just keeps on and told to each new generation. Paul would write in Galatians, which they were already struggling with this in the first century, separating from the head in doctrine. And he says, I marvel that you were turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. There's only one. Which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. There's no difference then and now with that. There's people that want to twist, as Peter would say, twist the scriptures to their own destruction. And the last area I want us to look at is not separating ourselves from the head in the way we worship. In Matthew 15, verse 9, Jesus makes the statement, "And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." I will go out on a limb and say this very moment throughout the world, there are many sincere people that are worshiping God in an incorrect way, and that worship is in vain. Because the commandments and the worship they're teaching have been written by men. They're not following the doctrine that has been given to them. They're following worship patterns that have been prescribed by men themselves. There are religions that follow creed books that have been written by men. There are religions where a man is the head. Jesus, or Paul said, don't separate yourself from the head. And the head is Christ. And the body is the church. In John 4, a wonderful passage to explain this, where Jesus is sitting and talking with the Samaritan woman at the well. And he tells her in verse 23, "But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers, will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him." He's looking for who's worshiping him with spirit and truth. He goes on to say in verse 24, "God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." And he would tell his beloved Timothy in 1 Timothy 3:15, "But if I'm delayed, I write so you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth." We need to hold fast to the head and not separate ourselves, not drift from the head. Because the body, the church, without the head is useless. The body without the head is dead. I don't know how many, I always think of the French Revolution and the guillotine. You chop people's heads off. I don't know of any that stayed alive, or at least for very long. We need to hold fast to that head. We are the body. Let's hold fast to that head, Christ, in our belief, in doctrine, in our conduct, and in the way we worship. If we can be of service to you for the invitation this morning, if you've strayed and need to come back and repent, whatever your need, if you have not put your Lord on in baptism, you're not part of the body yet, we can accommodate you. Whatever your need, please come forward while Kurt leads us in the invitation. Let's stand and sing.